This week, we're beginning a new Sefer, and whoever would have thought that we would have gotten an entire Sefer without reading any of the Parshios in the Torah. But and now we begin Bamidbar, and we feel like we're in the Midbar. And we feel as if we're lost and we're wandering. And obviously we know that the Torah was given in the Midbar specifically. Again, it could be because the idea of a Midbar is that it's Hefker, it's ownerless. Anyone has access to it. And that really is our connection to the Torah. So even though we don't necessarily have the shul and we don't have the Sefer Torah to read the Parshios from, but nonetheless, the Torah is accessible everywhere. And anyone has the ability to come and take it, regardless of where he is, regardless of what the climate or the situation is in the world. The Torah is here. And as the Rambam says, Kol mi sheyirtze, whoever wants, yavo v'yitol, should come and take it. So let us begin. Interestingly, you know, there's sometimes when people repeat over and over and over again at nauseam, it becomes a little irritating. And imagine for a moment being in a conversation with someone and you're having a dialogue and they repeat the same thing over and over again. It's annoying, it's frustrating. Why are you beating this drum again? Let's move on to a different topic. And sometimes that's what I feel when I read about the death of Nadav v'Avihu. We obviously know that Nadav and Avihu, they were great people. They were the illustrious children of Aaron. They were the Gedolei Hador. They were supposed to come and be Mamala Makom. They were supposed to come and take the place of Aaron and Moshe. And obviously it wasn't meant to be, and there's a machlokes, there's a dispute in the Gemara as to why they died. But nonetheless, they died. This week's parsha, Vayomas Nadav v'Avihu lifnei Hashem, the Torah again discusses that Nadav v'Avihu died before Hashem, that they brought in Esh Zara. And then we also had discussed this in Parshas Shmini as well, where the Torah tells us that Vayichu b'nei Aaron Nadav v'Avihu ish machtaso, and again, they brought this Esh Zara lifnei Hashem, and Vayamus l'fnei Hashem, and they died before Hashem. And then again, in Parshas Acharei Mos, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Acharei Mos Shnei b'nei Aaron, Bekarvason l'fnei Hashem Vayamusu, when they approached before Hashem and they died. This is three times telling us the same story. Vayomas b'nei Aaron l'fnei Hashem Vayamusu. They come and they brought, they weren't supposed to bring, they died. Three different times the Torah is telling us this idea. So we already had it. I understand that Parsha Shmini, you need to tell us exactly what happened. I understand there's a context in Parshas Acharei Mos because the whole idea is in the aftermath of the death of Nadav v'Avihu. But why in this week's Parsha? We've already moved on. Now we're talking about the future. We're talking about something that's about to happen, something very special. Why again are we focusing on the death of Aaron's children, Nadav v'Avihu? Why again? Why now? It's a new Sefer, new opportunities, it's a new horizon. It's not necessary. Question number two. The Torah tells us in the beginning of the second perek of this week's parsha, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron lemor. And God spoke to Moshe and Aaron saying, Ish al diglo ba'osos lebeis avosom yachanu b'nei Yisrael. The children of Yisrael shall encamp, each man by his degel, by his banner, according to the insignias of their father's household. This was something that was that was very special. Klal Yisrael had reached a new milestone. We were now beginning the process of becoming a full-blown nation. We were no longer stragglers. We had our own uniform, and we had our identity, and the Shvatim were starting to form. This is something that was an exciting time in Klal Yisrael. Then why is it, asks Reb Yaakov Emden, why is it that Klal Yisrael had to wait? Klal Yisrael were an enslaved people for 400 years. We were suffering greatly. All we wanted was to be able to be a nation. All we wanted was to rid ourselves of avdus, of slavery. We wanted to come out and feel as if we were a people, that we had this identity, that we had the opportunity to grow and to develop. Wouldn't it have been better for the morale of Klal Yisrael, asks Rav Yaakov Emden, if immediately after we left Eretz Mitzrayim, we already would have begun the process of forming these various tribal formations? So why wait? Why not set them up in this type of setting immediately upon leaving Mitzrayim? Why was it necessary to wait an entire month before Klal Yisrael can come and set up in such a way? Think about for a moment what it would have done for Am Yisrael, what it would have done for their morale. They would have felt so dignified as a people. They felt so low. They felt still as slaves. But if they would have had their own uniform and their own flag, it would have been so special. They would have already begun the process of healing a month before. Why wait that entire month before Klal Yisrael can begin to feel as if they were already advancing, moving to the next phase? Again, based upon the first question, this was an opportunity to look ahead, to go forward, to be progressive. We're not settling. We're not focusing on the past. We're not interested in Nadav Va'avil. We're not interested in still feeling like Avadim, feeling like slaves. And perhaps the greatest example of this feeling of Gvura, that we still matter, that we're a people to be reckoned with, is the first Rashi of this week's Parsha, which brings us to our third question. The Torah tells us, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, that God spoke to Moshe b'midbar Sinai, in the desert of Sinai, b'oel moed, in the tent of meeting, b'echod lachodesh hasheni b'ashona hashenis l'tseisa me'eretz Mitzrayim lemor, saying, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to instruct Moshe to do something that is necessary for Klal Yisrael's continued growth, for Klal Yisrael to rid themselves of their past and already to look forward toward the future. And that is, Se'u es Rosh kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Take account of the entire B'nei Yisrael. L'mishpachosam l'veisavosam, according to their families, according to their fathers. And Rashi comes and asks, why is it necessary for Klal Yisrael to be counted? Rashi says, mitochibasan lifanov, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael so much. Mona osam kosha. He wants to count them at any given opportunity. When a person has money in his wallet, when he's carrying around a lot of cash in his pocket, what does he do? He takes it out at any opportunity to start counting, because we love money. And that is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels toward us. Mitochibas on the fun of Mona Osam Kol Shai, he's forever counting us. Kishayatsu Mimitzrayim Manan. When we left Mitzrayim, we were counted. U'kishanafo be'egel, when we fell by the egel manan. Leda Hanosrim, to know the remnants. Ukishabala Hashrosh Kinoso Aleim, and now, at this juncture, he wants to count them. We're already looking toward the future. It's a wonderful thing. Except, which brings me to my third question, is this the right way to look forward and not to look behind us? After all, the Gemara Maseches Yuma tells us, the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak tells us in Maseches Yuma Daf Chaf Beis Amar Beis, Aser Limnos Es Yisrael Afilu Lidvar Mitzvah, that it's forbidden to count Klal Yisrael, even for the sake of a mitzvah. Even to give Klal Yisrael the encouragement that there's still a people, that there are a tremendous amount of you, that I care for you, you're my beloved, and therefore I'm counting you. But nonetheless, we know that it is forbidden to count Am Yisrael Afilu Lidvar Mitzvah. Which brings us to our third question. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu then count Am Yisrael? It's an ayin hara. Blessing is not bestowed upon a being or a people that is counted. Then why count them? I understand mitoch chibasam. But maybe there's a different way. Why count them? Lama mana nosam. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu counting them if we know that it's forbidden to count? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously going to live by his Torah. If he expects us to live by it, certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu will live by the same standards that he expects of us. Lama manam, why is he counting them? And I think to answer that question, one has to look at the Ramban in this week's Parsha. The Ramban comes and addresses an interesting question. In the aftermath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanding Moshe to count them, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and counts them, and the word that the Pasuk uses is Miben Esrim Shana V'mayla, from 20 years of age and up, Kol Yotzei Tzava B'Yisrael, everyone who goes out to the Tzava B'Yisrael, Tifkadu Osam, you shall count them. And the Ramban is bothered, or the Ramban addresses, why are we using the word Tifkadu? Maybe use the word Lispor to count, Sfiras HaOmer, we're counting. That's the more commonly used word to indicate that we're counting. Or Mona Osam, some other expression. Tifkadu is a very unique word. The Ramban comes and says that Inyan Pekida, that the idea of a Pekida is Zikaron Vahashkacha Al Davar. The word Pekida is a Zikaron, is a remembering. Vahashkacha Al Davar, and a turning of attention. It's a Hashkacha upon something or someone. Kilashon, like we had seen, V'Hashem Pakad Esara Kasher Omar, like we saw in the Torah, that Hashem remembered Pakad Esara, as he had said, V'hu Pisrono B'chol Makom. And this is the meaning of the word Pakad everywhere. V'gam Pikadon, and also the word pikadon, which is an article that is entrusted to a trustee. Bipnei shahashgachaso ushmiraso alav. Because it is being watched and it's being safeguarded. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding Moshe to count Bnei Yisrael, it's not just a reckless counting, but rather it's to tifkod osam. You shall pakad them. You shall remember them. Don't just recklessly count them, but each and every member of Klal Yisrael has a value. Each and every member of Klal Yisrael is unique, is special. We're not just randomly counting people. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu is being impressed upon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, as the consummate leader of Klal Yisrael, any action that is being done has to be with a purpose. Indeed, it's true to recklessly count, or to count for no reason, for your own purposes, for your own sake, to know how much money you have. That's not allowed. When people count, it's for their own self-interest. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, this isn't any typical count. This is a count that's lishma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminding Moshe Rabbeinu as they're making their way through the desert, and there are going to be trials and tribulations, and they're going to test you. It is incumbent upon you to recognize the value of each and every person, and that the job that you're doing as the leader of Am Yisrael has to be lishma. It has to be for the purpose of Am Yisrael. Essentially, there has to be a context to your leadership. It can't be a haphazard leadership. There has to be a goal. You have to drive into the hearts and the minds of Klal Yisrael what their focus is. What is your leadership? Every politician knows that to win a race, there has to be a message. The people have to be able to identify what you stand for. That's leadership. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that your leadership can't be a random leadership. It has to be with purpose. There has to be a mission. And that mission has to be that each and every member of Klal Yisrael recognizes that they have a purpose and a mission. And that is exactly why, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, why it was necessary to wait an entire month before bringing Klal Yisrael into their formation to set them up with their flags, etc. Because think about it for a moment. Klal Yisrael were slaves. Klal Yisrael, when they were in Mitzrayim, had no identity. They weren't allowed to express their individuality. They were at the beck and call of their masters. Whatever their master wanted, whatever their master demanded, it was incumbent upon the slave to fulfill the wishes and the command and the directive of their master. And if not, there were great consequences. And now Klal Yisrael is leaving. They're free. And they're given a flag. And they're belonging and they're part of a shevet. Reuven had his shevet, and Shimon, and Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, so forth and so on. And each shevet had their flag. And each flag had its own insignia on it to indicate what their koach, what their strength, what their ability, what they stood for represented. And each flag had its color. No two flags were alike. Every shevet, as was told to them by their illustrious father Yaakov, each shevet had a mission, had its own individual purpose in life. And that's intoxicating. Going from a time where you didn't have any individuality to now where you are free to do whatever you like. You're able to express yourself how you wish. It's intoxicating. It's daunting. It's crippling. And potentially troubling as well. And therefore, it was necessary to wait an entire month until the Mishkan was built and that all of the Shvatim can surround the Mishkan. Because the Mishkan, the tabernacle, now gave a context to their individuality. It gave a purpose. It gave a directive. It now allowed them to understand that they're not just a bunch of individuals, but rather, they're a bunch of individuals that have a much greater purpose, that have a universal purpose. Kishem shebe'evrei ha'adam. Rabbi Yaakov continues and he says, just like a person is made up of limbs, yesh evarim miyuchadim, there are individual limbs, sheyesh lahem kochos hamisugalim, that have specific abilities. There are the ears that are created to listen, and the einayim are created to see. V'chitale al daitcha sheyo'ilu kasher heim mefuradim min haguf. Are those individual limbs do they have value if they're individual? Do they have value if they're removed from the totality of the body? If a person isolates his eyes and his ears from the totality of the mensch of the person, can the ears listen and the eyes see? Of course not. Kol zman sha'ozen eina mechuberes leguf, as long as the ears are not connected to the guf, ein lo shumay lo klal, it doesn't mean anything. There are no attributes, there's nothing significant or special about those ears and eyes. And therefore, to simply have flags, and to simply have all of these tribes, especially coming out of a time and a place where they were never able to express their individuality, there isn't a context for them to express that individuality. They're not going to know how to express that individuality. They're just going to run wild. But with the Mishkan and the Torah and the Hashras Hashchina, there is now a context to the kochos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to each and every tribe in Am Yisrael. Now the lion has meaning for Yehuda. And the ship has meaning for Zevulun. And so forth and so on. Because there is the Mishkan and there's the Shekhinah. And there's the Aron, and they're all the Kalim. Now they recognize, and now they realize, and now they appreciate that their responsibilities have to be in the context of Dveikus BaHashem, of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is why, in this week's Parsha, I believe, the Torah again introduces the death of Nadav ve'Avihu. Because it was in this week's Parsha that God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells Moshe, HaKreyev Es Matel Levi, bring near the tribe of Levi, V'Hamadato Osor L'Fnei Aaron HaKohen, and have them stand before Aaron HaKohen, V'Sher So Oso, and they shall serve him. They were the Misharsim of the Kohanim. V'Shomru Es Mishmarto, they shall preserve the integrity of Es Mishmeres Kol Ha'eda, L'Fnei Ol Moed, La'avod Es Avodas HaMishkan, to perform the service of the Mishkan. The Shamru is Kol Kalei Ol Moed, and they have to protect and preserve the integrity of all of the Kalim of the Ol Moed, and the Es Mishmeres B'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was about to instruct Levi that they were no longer working for themselves. There was a context to their mission. Their responsibilities were to serve Am Yisrael, to ensure that the Kohanim had what they needed to serve Klal Yisrael. And the greatest example for the Levim to understand their responsibilities was to let them know, look what happened to Nadav v'Avihu. They brought b'hakravam eish zar lifnei Hashem. They brought an alien fire before Hashem. They were bigger than you are, Moshe Rabbeinu said. But they didn't have a context. They were motivated by self-interest. They were yearning to set up the formations, the degolim, before they were allowed to. They didn't realize and appreciate that their mission in life was in the context of the Mishkan. That to be a leader of Am Yisrael, to be part of a tzibur, you can't do whatever you want, whenever you want, how you want to do it. And especially when you're in a leadership role. HaKadosh Baruch Hu first told this to Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't recklessly count, but be mindful of what you're doing. There has to be a lishma attached. And the degolim, the formations, can't just be set up upon Yitzias Mitzrayim. You have to wait for there to be a context, a lishma in the form of the Mishkan. And now as Moshe Rabbeinu is coming and bringing the Levim and telling them that they have a sacred mission, they're the Misharsim of Am Yisrael of the Kohanim. Look at Nadav v'Avihu. Look at what they did. Look how calamitous their actions were, because they might have done something special. They might have thought that what they were doing was connecting them to Hashem, but it was in the wrong context. It was an Eish, but it was an Eish Zara. It was alien. It was foreign. That isn't what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mandated, had directed, had commanded them to do. And therefore, they were killed. Look at them. So yes, indeed, Klal Yisrael is looking ahead. But in order to look ahead, it's imperative to look behind, to look in the past, so we, the future, have a context as to how we're supposed to live our lives. It's all about the context. Let me give you an example. Let me ask a question. I'm going to give two scenarios. The first scenario is someone taking a weapon and killing someone. And then I'm going to give you another example. Someone yearning to serve Hashem, to become a Kadosh. Clearly, which one is better? Which one does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? The obvious answer to be holy. Kadosh Baruch Hu's not interested in a murderer. Except it's not entirely true. Because those two examples were none other than Korach and Pinchas. Korach. Vayikahalu al Moshe v'al Aaron. Vayomru aleim rav lachem kichol ha'ida kulam kidoshim. We're all holy. Umadua tisna'asu al kahal Hashem. Why have you accepted positions of prominence? We all were at Har Sinai. We all want to become holy. We all want Kedusha. And then you have Pinchas. The Torah tells us. Vayavo acher ish achar ish Yisrael el akuba. Vayit koreshenem es ish Yisrael ves hoyishoy el kavasa. Vateatzar hamagifa me'al b'nei Yisrael. Pinchas, ben Elazar, ben Aaron HaKohen, he saw. Vayakam, he stood up mitoch ha'idah. Vayikach romach biyado, he took this spear in his hand. And he followed this Ish Yisrael of Es Ha'isha. And he pierced them both. And he killed them. A murderer and someone that comes and announces that he wants to be holy. And I asked, which one is more precious before Hashem? And 10 out of 10, everyone's going to say that the one who wants to be holy is precious, b'fnei Hashem. But it's not true because it's all about the context. And contextually, putting those two actions in a context of the ratzon, of the desires of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pinchas, the murderer, is given a bracha le'olam. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshiv es chamasi mi'al b'nei Yisrael. He turned back the wrath from upon b'nei Yisrael. B'kano es kinasi b'socham. When he avenged my honor among them. And therefore, Lachain Emor Hinani Nosein Lo es Brisi Shalom. He's going to be given the covenant of Shalom, of Kahuna, that will endure forever. And Korach, who had yearned for Kedusha, he was swallowed up by the ground that he was standing upon. Forever, forever known as the nemesis of Moshe Rabbeinu, forever known as the person who had initiated Machlokes Shelo L'Shem Shemayim, a dispute without a context, without a meaningful purpose, only yearning for his own self-interest. The very first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught, as Klal Yisrael left, count them with a context, that it should be Lishma. It's all about the context. It's not necessarily only about the action, because if it was about the action, to count is Asur. And there isn't any necessary reason to bring up or to focus upon Nadav v'Avihu. And really, the Degolim of Klal Yisrael should have been established much earlier, but it wasn't. Because Moshe Rabbeinu understood that it's all about the context. It's all about the right time and the right moment. It's not only the action, but it's the motivation and the intent behind the action as well. When we live our lives, it has to be with a mindset that this is what Das Torah wants, that what we're doing has to be L'Shem Shemayim, for the sake of heaven. And it's so easy for those lines to be blurred, that perhaps when we think that we're doing something in shul, we think it's L'Shem Shemayim, fighting over who's going to get an aliyah, or who's going to say Kaddish for the Amud. They're fighting about who's going to have to say Kaddish because who has Yaretzayit. What's the context? What's the bigger picture? It's a greater an aliyah for the neshama to preserve, to ensure shalom, to preserve peace, than to fight over a Kaddish. So even though a Kaddish allows the neshama to have an aliyah, but if the context is machlokes, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that. That's not l'shem shemayim. And that's what we learn from this week's parsha, from Nadav v'Avihu, and the Mishkan, and Moshe Rabbeinu being instructed to count as Klal Yisrael was on their way out of Mitzrayim. Have a wonderful night.